Rise and shine, folks. Welcome back here. Hour number three, Spin On Sports, Great Voice Network. Great to have you ride along with us, no matter who you are, where you are, how you may be listening, all across the great state of Michigan and in Northwest Ohio. Oh, man, what a day. It's a feel-good Friday, and nobody feels good about anything. This is not how this is supposed to go, people. 866-365-SPIN, 866-365.
Michigan football fans are rightfully so. Feeling great.
Yeah, we feel great.
Lions fans are, again, we're learning how to handle this, Anthony. We're not used to it.
That's the crazy part about all this is, so we got to that, I'm a doubter. And then the next text is, we will win by 20 plus. I will be laughing thinking about how you said it will be close. It won't be close. Both of you are wrong. I don't think it's going to be close. I personally don't believe that it's going to be a close game. I just don't think we score 50.
Right. I think the Lions will win by two scores. I just don't think it's going to be like, hey, it's the second quarter, I can go do yard work.
Never do yard work.
Hey, I can throw it. I can throw Dan Miller on and do yard work.
Dan the man.
So it's just more of like, more of that feeling. I feel like Anthony Richardson can kind of, like I say, keep the game a game.
If we are going to spend that type of money on Underwood, then you can't waste it by using the same playing style we're using now. The reason why we don't get prize receivers is because we don't throw. We have to get with the times to become more dynamic with the pass to get great receivers and quarterbacks. 100%. No disagreement there. I mean, there were even times last year where I was frustrated with the play calling. Someone actually texted the show and said, Anthony's not a fan, laugh out loud. That's the thing. If I, you know, I'm really caught at this crossroads right now. If I don't say we're going to blow him out, then I'm a doubter. But if I do say I blow him out, then I'm just a fanboy. Oh, I can't win. Wayne in Auburn says, I'm an Air Force vet. I think we have a great game plan for Richardson on Sunday. I believe Glenn will have an exotic defense package. Ooh, I like that. Using our safeties, corners, and Captain Jack to spy on Anthony Richardson. We'll use the ball to control time, consuming offense to neutralize Richardson's strengths by keeping him on the sidelines. Yeah, Wayne, that's it. I have lost patience with the Iser plan. This team wins one and then we'll lose three. I'm tired of people saying we fans need to be patient. I have no confidence in this team getting to the playoffs with this putrid roster. Love you guys. Ryan is my guy. Great dude, as are you, AB. Well, that's very nice. Thank you very much. If that all came from Wayne or if that was two separate texts.
No, that was all from Wayne.
Oh, shout out to Wayne. Wayne's World, baby.
So, all you texters that are texting in, tune in 8:17 because we are giving away four tickets to Hockey Faster Than Ever.
You're damn right we are. So, did you know that that's on display now through January 5th at the Henry Ford?
Have that phone number ready. Be ready to call in once Anthony tells you when we come back from break in a little bit.
There we go. Boom. All right, what's going on in the sports world? We'll try to get you all caught up with all the happenings. We'll do so right now in the headlines. All right, last night, very active night in the sports world. Michigan took on Tarleton State in basketball, won 72-49, so that was a lot of fun. The Detroit Red Wings 2-1 winners, Lucas Raymond with a game-winning goal on the celebration of Pavel Datsyuk's induction into the Hockey Hall of Fame. So congratulations to them, 2-1 winners there. And the Detroit Pistons fell on the road to the Charlotte Hornets 123-121. A snow globe game last night. George Pickens slighting the Browns, blaming the loss on the snow and on the refs. I don't really like him very much, this George Pickens character. And a five-game winning streak came to a close with the 24-19 win for the Cleveland Browns, snapping that streak from the Steelers last night. Jason Kelce is going to host a late-night show on ESPN starting on January 3rd. Kelce announced during an appearance on ABC's Jimmy Kimmel Live that he will host They Call It Late Night with Jason Kelce on ESPN, a one-hour show. Will tape on five straight Friday nights beginning January 3rd that coincides with the last week of the NFL's regular season and playoffs. The show will be filmed in front of a live audience from Union Transfer in Philadelphia. The first four episodes will air at 1 a.m. You're paying for a late night show to tape and air at 1 a.m. Hall of Fame committee passed over the Patriots' Robert Kraft again. I wonder if some of his off-the-field transgressions are following him. Giants quarterback Daniel Jones is regretful for the losses, and he said he's processing his future as Tommy Cutlets, a.k.a. Tommy DeVito, will start in place of Danny Dimes. Daniel Jones is a great example of what could possibly be worst-case scenario for Bryce Underwood. You give somebody a lot of money that ain't necessarily proven at that level. I'm not doubting Bryce Underwood. I'm just saying it doesn't always work out to be all sunshine and rainbows, folks. The NFL has issued an alert to teams and to players after some recent burglaries. Now, the AP found this memo and multiple other media outlets as well. The league says that homes of professional athletes across multiple sports have become increasingly targeted for burglaries by organized and skilled groups. Now, the FBI's involved as well.
Do they have a particular set of skills?
What are these groups? Are these the same groups that are, meandering around a little bit in Troy? What kind of groups are these? Now, remember, Holmes and Travis Kelce and Mahomes both had their estates broken into. So very, very interesting. Keep your eyes peeled, folks. Lots of interest in the Celtics sale right now. The owner says he plans to stay until 2028. So they're going to sell their controlling stake, the Grusbeck family, but not going to be out until 2028. Can you imagine what the Boston Celtics are going to bring in? The Pistons' Cade Cunningham had to exit the loss to the Hornets after he fell. It's a left hip injury. He did not play in overtime, knocked down his free throws, and then got the hell out of Dodge, unfortunately. Scary situation there. Career night from Brandon Miller. We talked to him. It was just a debacle. The NBA All-Star Game is going to have a pickup-style tournament format now because they're going to change it again because nobody gives a damn about it. The Capitals star Alexander Ovechkin will be out for 4 to 6 weeks with a broken fibula. The 39-year-old superstar exited the team's 6-2 win Monday against the Utah Hockey Club after there was a collision and their left legs had hit each other, tried to balance, and then, whoop, he was down. And this is not great, not because the injury pauses Ovechkin's pursuit of Wayne Gretzky's all-time NHL goals record. I think regardless, he should play next year. Regardless. The Dodgers, Shohei Ohtani, and the Yankees, Aaron Judge, were named their respective league's MVPs. Speaking of Major League Baseball, they're now eyeing long-term media rights plans for all 30 of their teams. That'll be very interesting. The number one recruit in the country, Bryce Underwood, the Belleville quarterback. He has flipped his commitment from LSU to the University of Michigan, according to his social media yesterday. And that's what we have for your headlines. We'll step aside. We'll be right back after this. We're giving away tickets to hockey faster than ever. Get your phones out. Get ready to call. Get ready to text 866-365-SPIN, 866-365-7746. And we return here on the Great Voice Radio Network. You heard the man. You heard the phone number. 866-365-SPIN, 866-365-7746. Win. Be a winner right now. 4 tickets to experience hockey faster than ever. The exhibit at the Henry Ford. It's on display now through January 5th. Hockey Faster Than Ever takes you on an exciting journey through the evolution of ice hockey, showcasing the remarkable technical advancement and scientific breakthroughs that have shaped the sport over time, from cutting-edge technologies to the physics of the play. The exhibition will leave you amazed by the fusion of science and sport. Get more details at thehenryford.org and call us at 866-365-SPIN, 866-365-7746 to win those tickets right now. All right, folks, man, it has been a very active morning here on the program, and it's so great to have you with us as we officially kicked off, and I cannot believe I'm saying this, but week number 12 of the NFL football season. Last night in the snow globe, Huntington Bank Field, used to be known as First Energy in Cleveland, Ohio. Cleveland 24-19, winners over the Steelers, the Brownies, yeesh. All right, let's get to our games this weekend. Sunday, Vikings, Bears. Vikings, 3.5-point favorite on the road in Soldier Field, 49 degrees at kickoff. Are they going to say, Ryan Elke, that the Vikings are a winter weather team? Are they going to say that they're an indoor team? What are they going to say?
They're going to say, bear down. That's what they're going to say. We need some of these top NFC teams to lose. Give us a little more breathing room. Bears, do one good thing this season. One good thing.
I got to roll with the Vikings here. I just don't believe in the Bears. I got to see it to believe it. So we shall see. Patriots, Dolphins, Miami, a 7.5-point favorite at home there in Hard Rock Stadium. I'm going to roll with Tua and the boys here, Ryan. I think that they know their playoff lives are on the line. They're still in the hunt. They're 4-6. They're 2-3 at home. They get back to 500 at home. They build on a little Uncle Mo here. I'm going with the Dolphins.
For years, Miami used to be the thorn in New England's side of just losing games inexplicably to the Dolphins when they really shouldn't have. And now the roles are reversed. Give me New England to just be the thorn in the Dolphins' side.
Oh. Buccaneers, Giants, Tommy Cutlets, Baker Mayfield, 1 o'clock kick on CBS. Tampa Bay's a 6-point favorite here. I'm going to take New York to cover. They get the interim quarterback bump.
No, they don't. That's not how that works. They're the Giants. Tampa Bay's getting Mike Evans back. They're going to get shellacked.
Mike Evans is scheduled. They had their bye week last week. This is the day he returns. Oh, let me change. Give me Tampa Bay. Dallas Cowboys, Washington Commanders. Commanders by 10.5. Commanders by more than 10.5. Let's go Washington.
Yeah, I mean, this is easy. Dallas stinks. Cooper Rush, fire up. But, yeah, the Commanders need to do what they need to do and just throw the dirt on top of the coffin of the Cowboys season.
Chiefs, Panthers here from Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte, North Carolina. Chiefs are 9-1. Panthers are 3-7. Chiefs are a 10.5-point favorite. Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah, this one's a no-brainer. Chiefs all the way.
Titans, Texans, NRG Stadium. Houston, 7-4. Tennessee, 2-8. Texans roll.
Yeah, not a great slate this week. A lot of mismatches, but yeah, give me Houston.
Well, just hold on because I got a real doozy here for you. The Las Vegas Raiders taking on the Denver Broncos. 4:05 CBS Denver, 6-point favorite on the road. 6-5 on the year. Bo Nix making a late push. It was Jaden Daniels in the first half of the season. Here comes Bo Nix. I'm going to take the Broncos.
Yeah, Bo Nix, dark horse for the Heisman this year. Playing really great late on. So give me Denver. They're rolling. They're looking great.
Brock Purdy at 4:25 on Fox in Lambeau Field, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Taking on, he's 5-5, taking on the 7-3 Green Bay Packers. Packers are a 3-point favorite at home. You typically get 3 points at home anyways. They believe this game is a toss-up at a neutral field? Need the Niners here. Kind of. Need the Niners.
You do, but you don't.
I hate them both. Can they both lose?
Tie. We're calling for a tie. No, I'm going to go with the Niners as well. We need the NFC North teams to kind of start losing here. Just breathing room. I'm not worried about the lines. I just don't want anyone sneaking up on us.
I don't want any shenanigans.
All right.
Cardinals, Seahawks. Cardinals are 6-4. Seahawks are 5-5. Arizona's a 1-point favorite on the road. Lumen Field, Pacific Northwest. They're in Seattle. The Arizona Cardinals, winners of 4 in a row and 5 of their last 6. Tyler's turned things around. Can the Bird Gang get it done against the Seahawks? I'm going to say no because I still don't believe in Arizona. I don't know why I'm saying no, though, because Geno hasn't been great. 11 touchdowns, 11 picks, that ain't good. But, yeah, give me the Seahawks, I guess.
Oh, man. I say, Geno, he saw that the Jets were stinking. He goes, hey, I remember my time with the Jets and started playing that way again. Give me Arizona, Kyler Murray. I think he's kind of turned the corner, and he's always had some nice stats, but there's the moniker of, like, well, Call of Duty comes out. That's when a season goes away. He's been excellent since Call of Duty's come out. He's grown up. Give me the Cardinals.
You don't know why? Because the game stinks.
There you go.
Flat out. Like, the game stinks. Like, only Call of Duty can come out and ruin a good thing.
And Madden does it a lot.
Yeah, you're right there. I mean, it's just terrible. I mean, there's internet videos about it. Like, it's just, they took a great thing and they just punted it out of bounds, and just, it is what it is. Now, for Sunday Night Football. How about this? The LA Rams, winners of 4 out of 5. Those LA Rams host the Philadelphia Eagles from SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, 820 NBC. Philly is a 3-point favorite on the road. I don't even know what to say here. We need the Eagles to lose. But if you listen to this program, you know I'm not picking Matthew Stafford for anything except for tonight, Sunday night. I might have to pick him, but I don't like to do that. I just want everybody to be really well aware that I'm going to take the Rams to win here. Not because I think they're going to win, because I want them to win. And not even because I want them to win. But the Eagles are 8-2 and chasing the Lions. So get the hell out of here. Let's go with the Rams. Do us a favor, Matthew Stafford. You didn't do anything while you were here.
Anthony's reaching into his closet, pulling out his Detroit Rams shirt for Sunday night.
God, I hated that with all my heart. I hated that. When I saw those T-shirts printed, I wanted to call Dr. What's-His-Name, get my eyeballs fixed.
Dr. Romani.
Yeah. Shout out to Pavel. A magic man.
Yeah, no, I'm going to take the Rams as well. You know, Philadelphia has been playing great the last few weeks. Where their schedules kind of allowed them to get their mojo back. But I'm on the same boat. We need some of these top teams to lose to give us some breathing room. We're not betting with our minds. We're betting with our hearts. Give us the Rams.
Now, Harbaugh Bowl, Monday night, second time.
I pick a Harbaugh. Boom, win.
John and Jim will see each other on opposite sides of the football field. The 7-3 L.A. Chargers host the 7-4 Baltimore Ravens on must-see TV Monday night football. Give me the Chargers here.
I'm taking a Harbaugh. I win.
That's a win. That is a win.
I think Baltimore, I think they feel really bad about their game last week. I think they try to bounce back, and I think John stays undefeated against Jim.
Oh, wow. And then finally, Lions and Colts, 1 o'clock kickoff, most important game of the weekend, Lucas Oil Stadium. It's going to be taken over by Detroit fans. Detroit's a 7-point favorite. That line isn't big enough. They're going to blow them out. They're not going to score 50, but they're going to blow their doors off. Let's go, Lions.
Yeah, I think the Lions win like by 16 points.
Interesting. Maybe. Scorigami?
Maybe. No, okay. Probably not. Like 30 to 14.
All right. I can dig that. Bye week teams, Falcons, Bills, Bengals, Saints, Jets, and Jaguars. We'll be right back. Trevor McHugh will join us. Michigan's got the number one recruit in the country flipping to them from LSU. How did it happen? What happens next? We'll dive into it when we return to Spin on Sports. Welcome back here to Spin on Sports, Great Voice Network. That's Ryan. I'm Anthony. Join us on the horn right now, the senior editor at the Maize and Blue Review from Michigan Rivals. His name is Trevor McHugh, friend of the show. Find him on X at Trevor McHugh. Find his work there at Michigan Rivals. Trevor, good morning to you. Happy Feel Good Friday. What are you feeling good about this Friday morning?
Oh, you know, not much, AB. Just a regular Friday morning, right? Yeah.
Just nothing big going on. Nothing really happening here. No big deal. Everything's fine.
Nothing going on. Yep.
So last night, the internet gets set ablaze. When Adam Schefter is getting involved in the college game, there's some big news, right? And that is that Bryce Underwood flipped his commitment from LSU to the Michigan Wolverines. Who, what, how, why, when, where? I don't even know where to start. What do you know? How did this all come about? And why just randomly announced on a Thursday?
Yeah, so the when really goes back to spring, honestly. I think there's a perception, largely because of Dave Portnoy at Barstool and his comment about trying to help find a quarterback and some of the issues that have been going on with Michigan, and then obviously the NIL offer to Bryce becoming very public through some reporting, kind of created this perception that Michigan just all of a sudden just started throwing money at Bryce, and that's not the case. They've been communicating with the Underwoods this entire time. Things really started to pick up probably after the Texas game. And, you know, there's been a lot of conversations about what Bryce's future at Michigan would look like, how they would utilize him in the offense, what the offense would look like with him. And then, yes, NIL was a big piece of it. We can get into that, obviously. But this wasn't just some random throw a bunch of money at a kid and get him to flip. Underwood, his family, his camp really were deliberate and took their time, you know, figuring out what the best spot was for him and ultimately decided that was Michigan. A lot of that has to do with Michigan doing absolutely everything perfect in this recruitment. It was a massive uphill climb. But you look at LSU in their last 3 weeks, and it's been a tough close for them. Things haven't exactly gone well, and that obviously helped Michigan's case as well. And now Bryce Underwood, the number one player in the country, he's staying home. He's going to play at Michigan.
You know, and I wanted to ask about LSU in their recent struggles, and you know, Brian Kelly, you know, was he getting into it with the wide receivers? You know, word kind of, you know, whether it's internet rumor or it actually happened or whatever the case may be. But, you know, I'm not a big Brian Kelly fan myself, but that aside, you know, to go from, you know, flipping from LSU where, okay, we see obviously different coaches, different circumstance, but the success of Joe Burrow, then to go to Michigan where, yeah, sure, we could point back to Tom Brady, but then it takes a while to get to J.J. McCarthy, and we don't get to see what he is right now due to the injury with the Minnesota Vikings. They've got Sam Darnold going. So how, as a Michigan recruiter, how do you pitch the number one quarterback in the country to come to Michigan when your identity has been, you know, old school Big Ten football, 3 yards in a cloud of dust, we're going to ground and pound, we're going to do all of these things? How do you make a quarterback intrigued enough to want to commit to go play for your program when you don't necessarily produce the volume of wide receivers that other programs produce or the quarterback success that other programs do?
Well, and this is where all the credit starts to really come into Sherrone Moore, right? Sherrone Moore was an excellent recruiter for Michigan before he was the offensive coordinator, before he was the head coach, obviously, and now he's just become the main recruiter for Michigan. And look, going back to 2023, remember, a lot of the talk from Moore when he took over as OC was he wanted the offense to be more explosive. And it wasn't. They weren't able to be as explosive last year as they wanted. They leaned heavily into being efficient. This year, again, a lot of the talk was they wanted to be explosive. Again, that hasn't been the case, but they also lost that efficiency piece, right? So, yeah, that's been the tough pitch, the product on the field. But what Sherrone Moore has done is won over these recruits, their coaches, their families, by showing them X's and O's, his plans, his vision, and building not just with Bryce Underwood, but the players that are going to come with him, right? We've already seen the 2025 class, the guys Underwood would be playing with, and now we're hearing about the names potentially coming to wrap up this class, and then obviously the transfer portal will be active as well. It's about selling that vision and explaining this is how we're going to do it, and this is how you're going to fit into it. And I don't know the exact words that Moore did or why he was able to pull it off, but these players, these recruits, they believe in Sherrone Moore and his vision, and now obviously it's about bringing it to reality. If it doesn't happen on the field, well, none of this is worth anything, right? So that's the next step, is actually executing the vision you've laid forward.
It's so interesting, too, with the Connor Stallions wrinkle here. I mean, what is Connor Stallions doing in Belleville, right? I mean, he's such a – I'm saying this for all of our listeners in Northwest Ohio, too, that are going to be triggered and, you know, smash their radio right now. But hold on. Don't do that yet until after the segment. It's Friday. But, does Connor's connection – you know, it could not have hurt, right, just to have somebody with that kind of love for that program to be kind of in your ear, at least nearby.
Yeah, the secret weapon strikes again, right? Connor is just never as important as people think he is. I'll put it that way. Like, Connor did a great job when he was at Michigan, and I'm sure he was pro-Michigan in Bryce's ear when he was there as well. But Bryce Underwood ultimately made this decision, and Bryce Underwood and his family ultimately made this decision. Connor didn't do anything. You know, if Connor had not been at Belleville, do I think Bryce Underwood still would have flipped? Yes, I'll put it that way. But yeah, it is funny. And for people who think he is the orchestrator of the worst cheating scandal in the history of sports, it is a little triggering to know he was near Bryce, and I've already seen some of the conspiracies this morning. So let's ride with it. It's hilarious.
Yeah, I love it. I mean, it's a cute little wrinkle into the story here. Now, you brought up a very good point. So if Bryce comes to Michigan, what that does as far as how it makes Michigan look a little bit more attractive. You mentioned Sherrone Moore wanting this offense to be more explosive than they have been. And now the biggest question that everyone is talking about right now is, hey, you fork over the money that, you know, people believe and it has been rumored as those are circulating. Some people said when those numbers came out that it was kind of a turnoff to the Underwood family. And I thought that was very interesting as well. But with that kind of money being, you know, committed, whatever that number is, any money committed to a guy that hasn't taken a snap at this level of football, the heat is on. Do you expect there to be any sort of competition whatsoever at that position going into next year? What happens to the rest of the quarterback room? And now that he is committed, is he available to play against Northwestern? Can he suit up on Saturday, 3:30? I'll be there. I'll bring him with me. I'll pick him up. We can carpool.
This new walk-on all of a sudden comes strolling on the field, right? Yeah.
Anyway, you can wear the glasses with the big nose and the mustache.
That's amazing. The money, the turnoff to the Underwoods was where the conversation went in the media and some of the implications that were being made by a huge focus on the money. Because, again, that was not the ultimate factor in Bryce's decision, as much as people, you know, aren't going to believe that if they don't want to believe it. And also, frankly, until we get to like an NFL style where like there's actual contracts and whatever, and that's actually public, it's not really any of our business, right? So the number wasn't accurate and people just didn't like what was being implied from Bryce. But anyway, yeah, look, the impact is immediate on the quarterback room. We don't know, right? There's a chance that none of the Michigan quarterbacks on the roster right now are back next year. That is a plausible chance. So I wouldn't be shocked if Michigan adds another QB in this recruiting class, like a lower ranked project guy, potentially. They will be going into the transfer portal at minimum to get another Jack Tuttle type guy, a guy that can bring experience and leadership to the room. And I do expect them to go after an experienced starter as well. Whether that's going to be a guy that is so experienced and so good that there's kind of an understanding that Bryce probably won't start his freshman year, or good enough that Bryce will have to compete with him, I do not think it's a foregone conclusion you're going into next year with Bryce Underwood the lock to be the starting quarterback, because frankly, you went into this season with unknowns at starting quarterback. And I just don't know if you can do that again next year, even if that unknown includes the number one player in the country, Bryce Underwood.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the fan base, I mean, it make January 6th look like a Girl Scout meeting if he's not starting and there's a quarterback controversy. Are you kidding me? All right, so if all of the guys, and for those that got that joke, man, I applaud you for that. But, you know, for the guys that are on the roster now, like, you know, Jaden Davis, for example, if guys decide that, okay, this guy's coming in, I'm not going to play here, I'm moving on, how does that affect, because, you know, you look at a guy like Brady Hart, who is a four-star, who's a class of 2026, his commitment to Michigan, he's got a great all-time Michigan name, Brady and Hart, Tom Brady, Mike Hart, I mean, destined to go to Michigan. But I look at it like you can kind of pitch the J.J. McCarthy pathway to younger guys that are coming up the pipeline now. When you get an established recruit like Bryce Underwood, if he has at least a little wrinkle of success, don't shy away from this. Look at the pathway that this creates, the opportunity, what you can learn by sitting and then being ready to play right away.
100%. So Brady Hart did confirm to us yesterday, not only does this not impact his commitment to Michigan, if anything, it emboldens it. He's excited to be in a quarterback room with Bryce Underwood. He thinks the better the room, the better for him. He's excited to be challenged by a quarterback of his caliber. So this does not impact Brady Hart. And frankly, if you're an elite quarterback and you want to go to an elite program, you can't be concerned about another recruit ahead of you, because what elite programs do is bring in elite QBs every single year. And they're not going to be scared to go into the transfer portal and get a guy over top of you either. So you can't be afraid of competition if you want to go to a top program. And Brady Hart is not one of those guys. So there's no concern there. And yeah, moving forward, there's guys on the 27 and hard to believe 2028 list already that Michigan is talking to. And I think moving forward, this has to be your strategy. You have to go out and get a high four or a five-star caliber quarterback every year. And you have to be ready to understand that you're not going to hit on every single one and you might have to go into the portal. I mean, what was it, 64% or something like that of starting quarterbacks in college football this year were transfer quarterbacks. So
wow,
that's part of it. Yeah. And then the rest of them are high caliber recruits that were thrown out there as freshmen or sophomores. So that's kind of just what the pool is now. And that's part of the reason why you never stop recruiting a quarterback, even if they commit somewhere else, right? Obviously, when the rumors were coming out that they were talking to Underwood, I was like, I hope so. Why would you stop talking to Bryce Underwood, right? Not only to get him to commit in this class, but let's be honest, had he gone to LSU, there's a chance he could have been in the portal next year, right? You can never stop recruiting these guys because they could become free agents every single year.
Boy, and you know it's a big deal when after the big-time victory over Tarleton State and Billy Gillespie and the Texans there at Chrysler Center, we have our guy Dusty May.
You a little last night, huh?
Oh, man, he was so angry. He looked at me and he said, "Will you be quiet over there?" I was laughing and he was smiling, and then the kids are giving him hell, and he turns back to the student section and he goes, "Your football team sucks, dude." It was, you're the head coach of Tarleton State. You've been to the highest level. He said to the refs early on, the fouls were like 5-0, and he looked at one of the refs. He was like, "I understand. I know where I'm at. I know I'm not going to get some calls, but come on." And I'm like,
"Oh,
wow,
my gosh,
that's priceless." And then at the end when he's like, "See, you don't even know what you're doing." It was a great night for who else is really good like that is Izzo. Izzo's really good with some of his commentary, whether it's the courtside fans, whether it's people like me at the table or the students behind us. He's a character. But Dusty May's Rage, as they like to call him, said he was excited to watch football next year in the Big House. This is a big day for the University of Michigan. There are a lot of people that contributed to making this happen. I think we're all grateful for that. The head basketball coach, after a win, is talking about a football recruit.
Right.
Just kind of speaks to the magnitude of what this means to this athletic department.
Well, and I mean, if you want to go big picture here on what has changed with Michigan and NIL, Dusty May is a huge piece of it as well, and Sherrone Moore, those two together, and the push that they've made to unite the university, the collective, the boosters, the fans, everybody around what the future of college sports is going to be. And I know, we all are going to have a nostalgia for a college sport that just doesn't exist anymore. That's reality. This feels dirty because you think about the guys dropping the bags of money in McDonald's and bags and all that nonsense, but that's not what this is. Michigan has been building for this for the last few years, and in a lot of ways has lagged behind because they didn't get into the Wild West, and they've created an infrastructure of professional people inside Michigan at the collective, relationships with high-end business people, and to create this NIL program that is going to be legitimate. It's going to be impactful for not only the athletes, but also the community impacted. And with revenue sharing coming forward, football and basketball, the trickle down has always existed to all other sports, but it's more important than ever that football and basketball at the University of Michigan are well-resourced and well-funded and successful, because that's going to impact every other sport at the school and the entire community in Ann Arbor and the entire university as well, because there's going to be schools that are going to be cutting sports and making a lot of really tough decisions when this revenue share kicks in. And Michigan is doing everything possible to make sure not only are they not going to be cutting sports, but their goal is to fully fund max scholarships for every sport. And football has to be crushing it for that to happen. And Dusty Mays knows that. And he's part of the successful plan, not just for Michigan basketball, but for Michigan as a whole.
You know, he just gets it, too. I mean, he gets it. The dude has been everywhere. I mean, Dusty May is like, he understands the role that is played. It's not just coaching basketball. It is so much more than that. I think that Casey Lubon at Michigan State, the golf coach, right? So it was Mark Hollis's idea years ago. We're going to send our golf coach to every single big-time golf outing in the state of Michigan just to help build relationships. And I'm like, that's brilliant. Like, of course, right? You go out there, you have a couple pops, you're playing golf, you're talking, they have a good relationship. Next thing you know, they write a check, right? It's a win-win for everyone here. Now, to the meat and the potatoes. So we all know that I'm kidding when I say, can Bryce Underwood play at 3:30 against Northwestern? It's on CBS. And like I said, I'd pick you up. Like, it's not a big deal. I'll scoop you up. Don't want any secondary violations. But Northwestern this weekend, the big one the following weekend. Northwestern played Ohio State really tough there in the first quarter, and then the Buckeyes woke up, but they've been struggling in the first quarter of late. So what is your gut feeling for this weekend against Northwestern? Because Michigan goes from national champion to 5-5 and fighting for a bowl eligibility at this point.
Yeah, it's still kind of hard to believe, isn't it? The show might actually end up being the recruits and possibly Bryce Underwood, not playing, but being in the stadium on Saturday. It's funny, I think ticket sales are going to go up now just because of that, because of what the recruiting weekend has become. But look, on the field, I still want to believe, because this is going to be the seniors' last game. There's going to be some elite juniors as well that are playing their last game at the Big House at Michigan Stadium. And they know how important a bowl game would be in terms of the additional practices and just obviously the optics of it. I still want to believe they can dig deep and put out a strong performance. This is not a good Northwestern team, But I mean, there's a chance this could be like the moon game and difficult to watch as two offenses struggle. But I have a feeling in my gut that Michigan's going to put together a really strong performance here. I think, you know, the team has really bought into this mantra of finishing strong and for the program and what the legacy they're going to leave behind. And I just have a feeling they're going to have a strong showing. I don't know what that looks like. Is it scoring 30 points, more than 30 points for the first time this year, which is hard to believe? Is it the defense holding them under 10, you know, that level of a blowout of 31-7? I sure hope so. I think the fans deserve it, and I think these players deserve it as well. Look, it's been a difficult year. Nobody's had a harder time than them, and they fought through injuries and a lot of adversity. So I just have a feeling in my gut it's going to be a good Saturday, so that's what I'm going to hope for.
It's going to be a great Saturday, and then to go on the road and to beat the Buckeyes again for the fourth consecutive year and force the National Guard to escort Ryan Day out of Columbus. It's going to be an epic couple of weeks here for Michigan football. His name's Trevor McHugh. If you don't follow him on X, you need to do so right now at Trevor McHugh and find his work at the Michigan Rivals page. Trevor, my friend, thank you so much for taking the time to join us, partner. We greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks, AB.
He's the man right there. Five-star quarterback Bryce Underwood has flipped his commitment from LSU to Michigan. And, of course, all eyes on Lucas Oil Stadium, Indianapolis, 1 o'clock kickoff, the Lions against the Ponies. It's the Colts and your Detroit Lions. Lions fans are going to take over Indy. Lions are going to win by a whole bunch. We're going to talk about it all when we return here Monday morning, same time, same place, Spin on Sports.